Praise the Lord. Shall we just pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for the word that is life to us, Lord. And we pray for that word to be revealed to our hearts, Father. We pray for that word to be established in us. We pray for that word to unveil the realities of all that you want us to receive and realize from you, Father. So unveil the word, Father, that will bring forth your witness. Unveil the word that will define your witness within us. Unveil the word, O God, that will manifest, O God, in the fullness of Jesus Christ, Father. Unveil that word, Father, by the Holy Spirit. Unveil that word, O God, that defines your will. Unveil that word, O God, that will explain your will into our beings, Father. Unveil your word, O God, that will unveil us, O God, as a new creation in Christ Jesus. So let there be light, Lord. Let your light manifest within us, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We ask you to bless us at this time. We ask you to release into our inward parts the light of your life, Father. Let all things within us bless your holy name. We pray and thank you, Father, for what you are doing with each one of our lives. We thank you for your calling upon our lives. We thank you for your purpose in our life. And we pray for that purpose to be brought to fulfillment in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We ask all things in the name of Jesus. We ask all things, O God, by the Holy Spirit. We ask all things, O God, to be fulfilled as you have purposed them, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that God is light. So light is sourced in God. That light is the basis of all life. So if you go right at the start of the book of Genesis, you will find that the first thing that God did when he looked at the earth was the words that he spoke, "Let there be light." Light is the basis of life. That without the light, there will be no life. So Genesis chapter 1 verse 3 and verse 4. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. God is light, and he manifested that light. So God has the purpose of unveiling light to us. And that light is the basis of all things that God does with us. It is very crucial for us to receive and realize the light that comes from God, because there are different kinds of light in the world. But God wants us to understand what is the true light. God wants us to understand that that light has got a manifold purpose. In the scriptures, the word light is a very profound reality. It is a very profound reality. Let's look at Psalm 36. Verse 9. Psalm 36 verse 9. The second part of that verse. It says, "In your light we see light." In your light we see light. So the purpose of light is to enable us to see. Light is the basis of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Light is the basis of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That when we talk about realities of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, they are a communication of light. And God wants that light to be the light of God. So what is the light of God? What does it bring forth in us? Right. Let's turn to John chapter 12, or rather John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Have the light of life. So God, you will find in the flow of scripture, is proclaiming something. He starts by saying, "Let there be light." He unveils to the psalmist that in his light we see light. And in Jesus Christ, he manifests that light to us as something that we can receive and realize. He says, "I am the light." Now Jesus Christ is an expression of the I am of God. He made 7 I am statements in the Gospel of John. And in each one of those I am statements, Jesus Christ proclaims the unveiling of the I am of God. He proclaims the I am of God. So he starts off, the first statement he said was, I am the bread of life. That unless you eat of me, you will have no life in yourself. Right? The second statement that he made was, I am the light. And that light is the light of life. So you need to understand that spiritually speaking, the light of life is the light that comes from God. It is the light that comes from the I am of who He is. And the evidence of that light is the reality of God that unveils in your heart. So how do you know that you are receiving the right kind of light? Very simple. That light will manifest the evidence of God. That light will manifest the reality and conviction of who God is. That light will be the basis on which you will know that God is real. That you will know that God is the one who has called you forth into His purpose. That God is the one who has life for you. That light is so crucial to each one of us. The purpose of the Word of God is to manifest light. When God gives you the Word, He means for that Word to be revealed into you. When that Word is revealed into you, the Bible says the eyes of your heart are enlightened. You find that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, right? Paul says that the Father of glory may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, that is Jesus Christ, so that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. So Jesus says, I am the light. And He says that God has to give you the revelation of Jesus Christ so that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling. See, when the light of God comes inside of you, it always manifests in a purpose. Everything that God does with our life has got purpose. God created us with purpose. We have found our own purposes, but God is trying to restore us back to the purpose in which He has called us. Which is why it is so crucial that we understand that in the revelation of Jesus Christ, there comes with it a purpose. And that purpose is to bring us back in line with the things of God. For so much of the things that we do are not of God. They are not sustained by God. They are not manifested by God. They are things that we have generated in ourselves. And as you grow older, you will find that the things you have generated in yourself pass away. And that's one of the lessons that God wants to teach the human race. Not many of us learn it. But that is essentially one of the basic lessons that God wants to teach us. That all that we do in ourselves, no matter how intelligent we are, no matter how much of wealth we amass, or how much of influence we amass, or how much of political power we can bring together, or how much of organizational power we can marshal, or how much of the resources of man we can marshal and put together, ultimately, all that we have passes away. All that we have is ultimately unsustainable. The empires of the past have come. At their zenith, they had immense power, immense influence, immense material wealth, immense power. But time has over and over again shown that all those things pass away, and they pass away into nothingness. All we have is monuments of civilizations that have passed on. Right? Monuments built to man that have also passed on. Right? So you need to understand that the difference between true light and false light is this reality of the abiding. So when Jesus says that the light that I give is the light of life, that Greek word for life is a very important Greek word. It's called Zoe. And that Greek word is used in the New Testament to depict the life that flows from God. There are 3 kinds of words used to depict life in the New Testament. Bios life is biological life. Suke life is soul life. But Zoe life is made manifest to the born again Christian. That when you are born again, God, what God opens to you spiritually is the Zoe life of God, which is why Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. John chapter 3 verse 3. Right? Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That means you cannot receive the light of God. Right? You cannot receive the light of God that will enable you to see the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God are the treasures of God. The treasures of all that God wants to manifest into each one of our lives. So there is a great and awesome purpose for each one of us. That when we read the scriptures, we are not just trying to read something that tells us something about something else. We must understand that the purpose of scripture is to manifest actual light. To manifest actual light into our hearts so that you can see the things of God, so that you can realize the things of God. That the ultimate purpose is in God is for us to realize the word that will enable us to see all things that God has for us. So this light is called the light of life. And this light of life is manifested to your heart. This light of life you possess in your heart. This light of life enables you to live a different life. This light of life brings into you a different nature and a different character. If you look at light in the sciences, you will find that light has got frequencies, light has got character in those frequencies, right? That if you split up white light, it breaks up into its component lights. And as we begin to see colors, we begin to realize that those colors are all reflections of light off different kinds of surfaces, and they reflect color, right? So there is a humongous reality of light in the physical sense. In the spiritual sense, there is the reality of life is awesome because the light manifests a reality of life, the awesome span of what life consists of. So light in the scriptures covers things like wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Light in the scriptures manifests also as power. Light in the scriptures manifests also, right, as a clothing, right? So if you look at James chapter 1 verse 17 and 18, God tells us that every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. God is our Father. Who are these lights? We are meant to be those lights. And God is telling us that every good thing that God gives us, every perfect thing that God bestows upon us, every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And it is a manifestation in light. It is a manifestation in light, and it's meant to be tangibly seen in your life. That means this light is not there just to make you feel good. This light is there to achieve a purpose. This light is there to so that you will realize the reality in which the scripture speaks that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That the sum total of God's thoughts over your life are vast. So you need to understand that the purpose of light is to communicate what God has for you. In the book of Isaiah, God says, "My thoughts are higher than yours, even as the heavens are higher than the earth." Let's turn to that. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So what bridges this reality? The reality that is in God, the reality that He describes as being as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That bridge is manifested in light. So as the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is released into your heart, right, the realities that God has begin to manifest within you. What happens when the realities of God's light begins to manifest in you? You begin to receive a different reality. A reality that is not of the world. You begin to see things differently. You have a different perspective on life. You have a different desire of life. God brings into you new things, right? Now he manifests that light through His word. So if you don't receive the word of God and it's not revealed to you, right, that light will not manifest. And you will just happily go ahead and think that you are doing the right thing. Which is why Jesus said that everything is based on revelation, right? Let's first look at Deuteronomy 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed to us belong to us and to our sons forever. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Amen. Amen. God is telling us an amazing secret here. He says that all that is secret, when it's brought to light, when it's revealed by God, it is given to us and it stands forever. But he gives us a clue here that is very important for us to understand. He says it will enable you to observe all the words of this law. So if God releases the light of his word inside of you, with it comes the power to observe those words. Are you with me? This is a supernaturally enabling in God. So each one of us, if you're wondering how you have changed, is because God has revealed to you a different reality. And in that reality has come a power that has enabled you to do what you would never have been able to do before. We're not talking here about willpower. We're not talking here of the exercise of your power. We're talking here of the realization of the power of God. The realization of something that is entirely beyond yourself. The realization of realities, the realization of actual strength, the realization of a character and nature that is entirely beyond yourself. When God says, I am the light, he's telling you that that light is a description of who he is and all that he is. It's a description, it is a manifestation of his character and his nature. It is a manifestation of his will. It's a manifestation of all that is inherently in God. So if God is omnipresent, it means that God is manifesting a realization of his presence into our hearts through his light. If God is omnipotent, and he is omnipotent, he will manifest in you a reality of living by his power. If God is omniscient, which means he is all-knowing, that he knows all things past, present, and future in any instant of time. Right? If God is omniscient, then there is a realization of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of the truth within us as we come alive to his light. This is something you must understand. It is through this light that God enables us to realize a new life. God enables us to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. So it is very important that you understand this, that actual genuine change comes out of the Word of God revealed into you. That if you actually want to see God in your life, if you actually want to realize the power of God in your life, it has to come through the Word through which God manifests the reality of something different, something new, something beyond your thought processes, something of the thought processes of God that he describes as being higher than yours, even as the heavens are higher than the earth. So important for you to understand that. And that light is the light of life, which tells you when God says, I am the light, when God says, I am the life, he's telling you that in that light, he wants to describe to you a process of life that is so far beyond what we think life is. And this is what is so important, that we are called to be sons of God. That's why the Word of God says that one day you and I will rise to be a blessing to nations. That the light that will shine out of us will manifest to touch nations. And you've got to understand these purposes of God. That as you move into ministry, as you move into the things of God, this is what God wants to develop in your life. Something far beyond what your intelligence is capable of understanding in its natural self. God is talking about his intelligence. He's talking about the communication of his thoughts. He's talking about the communication of his nature and character. He's talking about the communication of his purposes. He's talking about the communication of his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding. He's talking about the communication of the truth that will set you free and bring into you a freedom and liberty by the Holy Spirit. He's talking about things that pertain to him. It is very important for us to understand this. Now, this is why everything that is self-denominated defeats what the scripture is saying. Then we choose to live by ourselves when we choose to just exercise what we are inherently talented with. Then all we will ever see is how brilliant we are. All we will ever be is how good we are. All we will ever be is our righteousness. And that's why the Bible says that the righteousness of man is filthy rags. Because no matter how hard a man tries, his righteousness compared to the righteousness of God will always be filthiness. And that's what God is talking about. That's why every form of self-willed meditation ultimately leads to the wrong light. Because it takes the focus of God and manifests the focus on man. And we are our problem. It is because we have chosen to live without God, chosen to dismiss God out of our lives, that we have a problem. That when you face problems in your life, you will find that 9 times out of 10, the basic problem is from you yourself. It is not the devil. We love to blame the devil because it gives us an excuse to justify ourselves, right? But 9 times out of 10, the problem is us, right? Why are you not praying? Very simple, you don't want to pray, right? All right, but we try to explain a lot of things, right? Why are you wasting your time away? Why do you spend 20 hours a week sitting down in front of the idiot box and watching ridiculous movies that have got no meaning and purpose in anything? Simply because you want to do so, right? You don't mind wasting your life away because you've got no sense of purpose with your life, right? And millions of people in the world just absorb this rubbish that we see on television, and they live the life that manifests out of the idiot box. They are influenced by it. They think that the thought processes reflected in these programs are what it's all about. Young people are being influenced into all kinds of things. Old people are being influenced into all kinds of things. Right? People think that without the idiot box, there is no life. We have lost all the things that used to be a lifestyle to generations past. Now we sit down in our couches, in our lounges with air condition on, and we just watch nonsense that is all make-believe, right? All that God wants to change. He wants us to see and understand a purpose that He has for us. It's very important that you receive and realize that purpose from Him. So when God talks about giving you a ministry, you must understand He is beginning a work. He's trying to bring into you a purpose. He's trying to bring into you a reality beyond what you will see in the world around you. That's why it is so important that you don't serve God the way you would serve a corporation. Which is why you should always remember, we don't need the Harvard Business School in the Church of Jesus Christ. Because that is not the kind of knowledge God is talking about. God is not talking about how talented and how intelligent we are as professionals in building the church. He's not interested in that kind of a thing. He's interested in what He brings forth and manifests in our lives. He wants to take vessels that are willing to become empty so that He can fill them. Right? He doesn't want to build a church based on our ideas. He wants to build a church based on His ideas. He wants to build a church based on His power. He wants to build a church that is based on His character and His nature. Why are so many men of God falling? Because we are not willing to receive from God that which will sustain us, that which will protect us. You know, in the Bible it says, put on the armor of light. You find that in the book of Romans, right? Romans chapter 13, I think, right? Put on the armor of light. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, put on the armor of God. The armor of God is an armor of light. Unless you receive the light of God, you will not have protection from the light of the world. Right? It is the light of God. It is the light of His light that is the armor of your protection. And we need to understand that. Right? It is His light that will enable you to leave the reality of the world and come alive to a different reality. You must allow Him to work that into you. If you don't give Him the time to read and understand His word and meditate His word and realize His word, then there is no supernatural process by which He can manifest that word, that light. When you are born again, what happens? The seed of His light is manifested inside of you, and lo and behold, you see things differently. Just one little bit of His light. And you are born again, you see things so differently. So you must understand that when God brings you into the reality of being born again, He has begun a process of clothing you in His light. That clothing in His light is what is called in the Bible the garments of salvation. The garments of salvation are garments of light. That's why you find in the book of Revelation that the saints in heaven are clothed in white. What does white represent? What is really white is light. Pure, perfect light is white. Right? It is not wearing physical linen garments. It is talking about light manifesting in your being that clothes you with light. And in his visions of the saints in the heavenly places that John saw, he found that though that light actually forms actual garments. And you need to understand that. That light has got form. It can take form. Right? If you understand that light becomes knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and all those things that derive from it, you can see that light can take form. Right? I'm talking about something that's far beyond my intelligence. But you need to understand that we are talking here about the things of God. We're not talking here about the things of man. For God to say that every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift comes from the Father of light, which means it's an expression of light. You need to understand something. That's amazing. Every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift comes to you as light. What does that mean? We don't know. But that light has to be unveiled to us. See, God is talking about very profound and deep things. Don't exchange that for the mediocrity of the world and the mediocrity of self. Because no matter how brilliant we are and how talented we are, our brilliance is mediocre compared to the brilliance of the light of God. Which is why 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6 tells us something. Let's look at that. Second Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Listen to this. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. This light carries knowledge, and that knowledge is of the glory of God. Now we know glory is light. Now God tells us that there is a knowledge of that glory. And the knowledge of that glory of God is in light. Are you with me? Right? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That light comes to you in the right way as you see Jesus in it. That's not a physical face. That is when you see Jesus in His character, His nature, His faith, His love, His thoughts, His spirit, His life, His witness, His testimony. When you see and realize the realities that come to you in Jesus Christ, in His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding, in the reality of His strength, in the reality of the counsels of His heart, in the reality of the truth that He manifests, in the reality of the fear of God that He realized as the Messiah for you, in the reality of a perfect faith that He manifested for you, in the reality of a life that He realized, a life that was enabled entirely from God. So these are, in Jesus Christ, God manifested a blueprint for a new kind of living, a new kind of life, a new kind of reality. A reality of being able to live entirely in and by and through God. And that ability has to be manifested to us through light. So God is saying that that light comes in the face of Jesus Christ. Which is why when we started this Bible school, we said that at the heart of what we are talking about is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You cannot know Jesus Christ from the intellect of man. The reason for that is this. Because your intellect expresses your intellect. It expresses the light of the world that you have realized in your intellect. God is not talking about that light as being the basis of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the light that comes forth from God as being the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? That's why he says the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What is he saying? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God is actually manifested in the face of Jesus Christ. And that light has shone in your heart. Why has it shone in your heart? To enlighten your heart. With what purpose? To enlighten your heart. What does it mean to enlighten? Enlighten means to put on light. Amen. When you put on light, right? That light is manifested from your heart. That light becomes part and parcel of your being. Which is why 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 says that the prophetic word is made more sure in your heart. Right? And that prophetic word that is made more sure in your heart unveils in you as a morning star. What is a morning star? What is a star? A star is a ball of fire. The smallest star in the universe is our own sun. Which is why in Malachi chapter 4, right, God announces that there is something called the Sun of Righteousness, S-U-N. And that Sun of Righteousness is what is manifested as a morning star. Now that righteousness is the righteousness of God that he has manifested in your heart. It comes out of the word. Why prophetic word? The word that God is watching over to perform in your heart. To bring to light inside of you. To bring to life inside of you. Right? You see, it's a very simple process of change that God is talking about. All he's saying is, receive, accept my word, understand my word, it becomes light. Be patient with it, persevere with it, and it will bring forth in you a manifold wisdom, a manifold fruitfulness. It's a very simple process. But you realize that entire process is beyond you. That none of us can achieve that process in ourselves. This is a process that is entirely a process of God in your life. And the purpose of that is so that you will realize the evidence of God, that it is not make-believe. Which is why faith is the substance of hope, the evidence. Now you can believe anything you want. Right? You can believe anything you want. And at the end of it all, whatever you believe in has an evidence. The question you have to ask yourself is that evidence of God or is that evidence of something else that is other than God? If it's not of God, you must understand one thing, it won't last. Because only God is eternal and abiding. And if you want something to be manifested in your life that is eternal and abiding, it has to be manifested in the light and life of God. It is your responsibility to know that. It is your responsibility as a minister of God to minister in that light. Not give your light to somebody else. What for? Right? That they come around and worship you. What for? What are they going to get out of worshiping you except to die with you? Right? So if we do not communicate the light that comes from God, we are giving them nothing. We are just bluffing them. We are just telling them lies. So at the end of it all, if we teach the truth that sets them free, unveils them to the reality of the living God, they know and they know and they know I'm alive to the living God. It's not make-believe, it is not bluff. I can live in that light and I'm growing in that light and that light is bringing change into my life. It can be verified in my life. It is not about somebody else's life, it is about my life. It's about what my God has done with me. And when we preach to people, when we teach people, they must come alive to that fact in their life. If we make people just dependent on us, that is foolishness. Because God is not talking about reflected light. He's talking about His light being manifested in the heart of every believer who comes into the kingdom of God. He's not talking about life reflected off somebody else. He's not talking about you guys realizing light that is reflected of me. He's talking about Him communicating His light into your being, so that you will always understand that you are blessed by God and by nothing else. That you will realize that your life is entirely dependent on God and nothing else. That your future is entirely dependent on God and nothing else. It is not dependent on the church. It is not dependent on anointed pastors. It is not dependent on Moses. It is not dependent on Paul. It is not dependent on Peter. It is entirely dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. For the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ and nowhere else. And so the next verse calls that light treasure. The treasure of God. And he says, when the treasure of God is manifested in you, that verse 7 says, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of Him and not of yourself. You see, the secret of the Christian life is realizing the power of God. Realizing the ability to do things by God instead of by yourself. That's why God says, I am the life. What are you saying? You can only live by me. That the life I'm talking of is the life that is lived by me. That life I have to provide for you, and I provide for you that life through my light. You know, when the light comes inside of you, it sets you free. It doesn't make things so burdensome. It removes all the fear. I cannot, I must, I cannot, what will people think if I fail? It's not about you, it's about what God can do with you. It's about what God can enable through you. It's about God changing you and enabling you to become His instrument. It's not about you achieving something. Right? That's why this whole idea of you paying a price is nonsense. Right? How do you pay the price for the light of God? Hello? Of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. It's all by grace. So God wants you to receive and realize a life that is by grace. And grace is enlightenment in the faith and love of Jesus. Realizing a life through the faith and love of Jesus. The faith that no man has. A faith far beyond the faith of Elijah or Moses or John the Baptist or Paul or Peter. The faith of Jesus Christ. That perfect faith, that complete faith. That perfect love that Jesus gave us through the cross. That is at the heart of the Christian faith. What God has given us in Jesus Christ. What God has given us as a living expression in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Are you with me? So you need to understand that that veil in the temple was opened and the light of God was made manifest, available to all of us. And when you receive that light and set your hope in what God has revealed in you, in Jesus' name, the Bible says that your soul is anchored behind the veil at the speed of thought. Right? Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19. Right? At the speed of thought. Isn't it interesting that God is talking about realities like that? That you can actually have your soul anchored behind the veil. Right? 1 John chapter 3 verse 3, which says that if you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are purified even as He is pure. What is God talking about? Where does that purity come out of? Purity is expressed to us in light. Purity and perfection is expressed to us in light. Only light is pure white. Only pure light is pure white. And that pure light comes out of the radiance of the living God. And that radiance of the living God has been communicated to us in Jesus Christ. So when He says, I am the light of the world, God is saying the entire world must learn how to live out of the light of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus. You see, when you look at those kind of statements that Jesus Christ made, you can only take one position. Either Jesus Christ was an absolute liar or Jesus Christ was telling the absolute truth. There is no in between. You cannot call Jesus Christ a good man if He was telling you that He is the light of the world, because no man can manifest the light of the world. When Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world, he's declaring that he is God. That he is the express manifestation of the name of God, which is I am. So you have to make a decision in your life. Is that true or is that false? There's no in between. You cannot call a person who said, I am the light of the world, a good guy, if he was lying. So if he is lying, then reject him. But if he's telling the truth, then accept him as he is. Because the Bible says that he is the basis of the light of God. Either the Bible is lying or it's telling the truth. There is no in between there. Either he is saying, I am the way, the truth and the life. Either that is true or that is false. But that is an absolute statement. And all absolutes belong to the reality of God. Either Jesus manifested that in truth or it's absolutely false. But there is no halfway there. So if you have decided that Jesus is the truth, then let him be the truth in your life. Let him manifest the truth in your life. That's the key. He will manifest the truth. That's why in John 17 verse 6, in his prayer before he went to the cross, Jesus says, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Manifested the name of God. Manifested the light of God. Communicated all that is in God to us. He's not just talking of a human position. He's talking about being a mediator between God and man. So you need to understand and know that and take hold of what God has given you in Jesus Christ. So when you look at the Word of God, you must understand it in the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're not hearing God's Word, you're hearing your intelligent interpretation of God's Word. Which is why Jesus has to be preached. He is the gospel. That's why the Bible says that this is the mystery of Christ. And the church is required to unveil that mystery in us and amongst us so that the world will see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That has to come out of our lives. It has to come out of all that we do. And you remember that passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, 9, 10, right? That it is meant to be revealed to the principalities, the powers in the heavenly places. All those principalities and powers that stand against the knowledge of God. So this is what the battle is all about. The battle is a battle of light. When you look at the cross, it's a battle of light. Which light will manifest in victory? And when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, the light of God was manifested in human life. And Jesus came to define that human life in which the light of God will be manifested. Jesus Christ came to define that light in himself so that that light could be made communicable to each one of us. Because God's light is perfection. So what is the purpose in which Jesus came? He came to manifest what otherwise could not be communicated. So how can you make a communication between a perfect God who says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, as the heavens are higher than the earth, and someone like us who is doomed in the reality of a murky world where everything is going wrong? And so Jesus Christ came as the mediator. And that word mediator is very powerful, it is very profound, it is the very essence of our Christian faith. What is it that enables that mediation? The faith and love of Jesus, expressed to us in blood. When we talk about the power of the blood, it is because of the faith and love of Jesus. So when we are saved on the basis of the faith and love of Jesus that stands over our life in blood. And Jesus Christ is saying, in my faith and in my love, this person will come alive to you, my God. In my faith and my love, This person will come alive to you, my God. In my faith and my love, my God, these people will come alive to you. In my merits, they will be transformed. In the merits of my character and my nature, as they come alive to your light manifested in my character and nature into their lives, they will come alive to a new reality. They will be enabled to live a life that is different. Which is why Paul writes in the revelation of Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 and 18 and 19 and 20. He says, what comes alive to us is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe. That power is the power of the light that He manifested in His life. It was not make-believe. Jesus Christ actually did something. He didn't just simply come and preach a nice philosophy. Philosophies man can invent at the drop of a hat. But Jesus Christ didn't just simply come and preach a philosophy. He lived that philosophy and He died for that philosophy. And God honored His life by raising Him up from the dead. Nobody else has come back from the dead. And that's the light of His resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life, which tells you that resurrection power is light manifested as life. So you have light of life, and the connection between light and life is this power of His resurrection. That resurrection, He died, He rose again for you. He manifested something for you supernaturally. And that is part of the mystery of Christ. And that mystery of Christ enables you and me to become men of God, servants of God, vessels of God. That we who have got so many weaknesses in ourselves can be enabled to preach the truth, can be enabled to communicate something of God through our lives, can be enabled to become chosen vessels of the living God. That we can pray life into somebody. We can pray life because of the name of Jesus that is alive in us. There is no ministry outside the name of Jesus. That's why the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit is entirely concerned with what God has given us in Jesus Christ. God's investment in our lives is confined to Jesus Christ. That's what the Word of God is saying. You need to understand the Word of God and receive this realization. If you can't pray, the answer is Jesus Christ. If you are finding the Bible boring and you can't read it, you can't understand it, the answer is Jesus Christ. Ask for His Spirit in His life. Ask for His wisdom and His understanding. Ask for His insights of the Scripture. Because He is the one through whom God has to explain the Scripture to you. He's got to bring the Scripture to light into your life through the Spirit and life of Jesus, through the faith and love of Jesus, through the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have already seen in church history that when we attempt to live the Scripture in our own nature and character, inevitably we fall. Inevitably we go off into error. That part and parcel of the realization of the truth is the character and nature of Jesus Christ. That if the character and nature of Jesus Christ is not communicated into us, we are all a bunch of crooks. We are all a bunch of crooks. You, me, everybody. When Jesus Christ manifested His thought processes, He said something that sets Him apart from everyone else in creation. He says this, John chapter 5 verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, or verily, verily I say it unto you, or truly, truly I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. Now that is a statement no human being would make. But Jesus says something here. He's manifesting and defining a manhood where he says, I can do nothing of myself unless I see something that my father is doing. He's saying to you something that is very fundamental to his thought processes that we have to receive and realize from him. None of us will say that we can't do anything of ourselves. But he who stopped the storms, he who walked on water, he who raised the dead, he who healed the lame, he who made the dumb speak, he who cast out spirits by the legion by just one word, go, is telling that he can't do anything except that which is of God. What is he saying? He's saying that the life that I live is the life of God. Are you listening? You can pick up a drunk off the street and try and counsel him and tell him that his life is a mess, and he will still tell you, I can do the right thing. I've seen that with my own eyes. The guy is filthy, he's stinking, nothing is right in his life, and he will still argue and tell you that he can get it right. That's the nature of man. Jesus Christ, who was perfect in every way, says that I can do anything of myself. What a difference in thought process. It's a totally different thought process. It's a totally different thinking. Now we have to receive that thinking. It doesn't come naturally to any one of us. I don't think like that. You don't think like that. But he thought like that. So one of the keys to your ministry is for you to listen, understand that that ministry is going to be done by the power of God unveiling through your life. If you can understand that, you will become a true servant of the living God. If you can go into ministry, whether you're praying for the sick or whether you're trying to preach or whether you're trying to evangelize the nations, whatever may be the form of call, if you can understand that all things in my ministry are a gift from God, if you can just have that thought process and ask God to energize that thought process within you, you will see God do wonderful things in your life. It will take time for it to come forth, but wait for God to come through. Let's look at verse 30 there. John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. Interesting words, isn't it? I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. That's another thing we need to realize. He says, I can do nothing of my own. And he says, I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. That too is a different thinking process. Right? You must understand that the light of that thinking process is what it's all about. And the light of that thinking process has to be communicated to you through the Word, explained to you through the Spirit and life of Jesus. Otherwise, you will just receive the Word of God in your own intellect. And your intellect cannot understand a reality like that. You can say it, you can think you understand it, but you don't have the ability to move it because you don't have such a nature in you. So God has to provide you with that nature. Which is why God says every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And that's the key to what God is going to do with your life. It has to be provided because God is by name the provider, Yahweh Yireh. Amen. So listen to the light and life that God has for you in the Word of God. But you have to learn how to understand the Word of God through the testimony of Jesus. You've got to see it through Him. It is pointless reading about Joshua in the Old Testament if you cannot see the life of Joshua through Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because Joshua lived under the law. But Jesus comes to us grace upon grace. So when you read the life of Joshua and what God did through Joshua, the immense strength and courage that he gave that man, you must understand that that fulfillment only exists in Jesus Christ. So by all means, read the life of Joshua. But if you only see the life of Joshua in the pages of the scriptures, in the life of Joshua, then it's locked in the pages of history. And what is locked in the pages of history is not going to help you. It is through Jesus Christ that the door is opened. That's called the key of David. So you have to understand the life of Joshua brought to perfection in the life of Jesus and made available to all of us, so that what God introduced as a foreshadowing in the life of Joshua will be manifested in each one of us in the perfection of Jesus Christ. That what God foreshadowed in the life of Moses will be made manifest in each one of us perfectly in Jesus Christ. That what God foreshadowed in the life of Elijah will be made manifest in our lives in the perfection of Jesus Christ. That's what it means that the law and the prophets have been fulfilled. That until John, the law and the prophets were proclaimed. But after John came Jesus. And in Jesus Christ, the law was fulfilled. That God's answer to the law of covetousness was not, thou shalt not covet. It was, in Jesus Christ, you will not covet, because the nature of Jesus Christ will never covet. That the law which said, thou shalt not steal, is made manifest in the nature of Jesus Christ that will never steal. The law that says thou shalt not commit adultery is made manifest in us in a nature of Jesus Christ that will never commit adultery with somebody else. Are you listening? That what was proclaimed in the prophets as being available for fulfillment in Jesus Christ, that fulfillment is brought into reality. It's available to you. That while there are cosmic dimensions to the fulfillment of God's word, there are personal dimensions that are available to each and every one of us. And as long as you understand those realities in the nature of Jesus Christ, if you understand those realities in the character and testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will become a creature of fulfillment. Your ministry will communicate that reality of fulfillment into the lives of others. That as long as you lead them to see and realize all things in Jesus Christ, they will all rise and say, oh my goodness, my life is changing. Oh my goodness, God is answering things in my life. God is solving things in my life. God is bringing healing into my life. Hello. In module 8, when we start going into the name of God, we're going to look at the different facets of the name of God. And you will begin to see that there is a humongous reality in the name of God that God wants us to receive, realize, live and minister in. Always remember this, you cannot minister what you don't live. You can't tell people stories that are make-believe, that you yourself haven't received in your heart. Which is why you cannot be a man of God simply by going to school. You have to be taught by God. You have to receive His word in your heart. And you must know God has spoken to me. You must know God has raised me. You must know that what I know, it has been given to me by God. You have got to know that for yourself. That when you have preached the great message, you know that God has come through. When everybody else tells you, Pastor, you have preached a great message, that you know in your heart, Lord, you came through, and I thank you and I bless you for that. Are you with me? That when you pray and somebody is released, oh God, I thank you that the right words came out and you performed those words, and that person was set free from demon possession, that person was healed from his sickness. Amen. It's God coming through. That's what ministry is all about. It's not about me coming through or you coming through. Who is going to be saved by us? It's God coming through. It's a privilege of being a vessel of the Lord. It's a privilege of being used by God. And once you realize that you can be a vessel of the living God, brother, you have a purpose and a life that will continue to grow forever and forever. It will bring into you a joy that no profession in the world, no business in the world can even begin to bring into your life. It will bring into you a sense of satisfaction that nothing in the world can even begin to equal. You know, the book of Hebrews says that Jesus went to the cross because he saw the joy of what lay before him. That joy is in your life. He saw the potentials of his faith and his love in your life and my life. Hello? Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? That's the light we need to see. Praise the Lord. Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise. Thanking you for what you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. An immense treasure of light and life, Lord. An immense treasure, O God, that your word has to explain in very graphic terms within each one of us. And that light and that life comes to us as we see the word in the life and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we receive the word in the faith and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we receive the word in the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we receive the word in the faith and love of Jesus, in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the thought processes of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the mind of Christ, in his heart, Lord, in the entirety of his witness, in the entirety of his spirit of wisdom, knowledge and understanding, his spirit of counsel, his spirit of strength, his spirit of truth, his spirit, O God, of the fear of the Lord. His spirit, O God, of faith, his spirit, O God, of grace, his spirit of life, his spirit of humility and contriteness, Father. All things you gave us in his spirit. You declared his spirit to be the spirit of holiness when you raised him from the dead. And we pray that in that spirit we will be enabled to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That we too will one day say, I can do nothing unless I see my God doing it. That one day we will say that I can do nothing of my own initiative. I do not seek my will, but I seek the will of him who is my God. So we pray, O God, that that light, that process of thought, that is your light, O God, let it be made manifest to us so that we will live in our God, so that we will live by our God, so that we will live through our God, so that we will live for our God. And in living in and by and through and for God, we will know that God is indeed true, that God is indeed real, that he is life itself. So Lord, lead us, lead the church across the world and in the heavenly places into this realization that all things will be done as your righteousness in Christ Jesus. Bless our hearts in this reality. Enable us to trust you. For the God who gave himself to us through a cross, a God who reveals himself to us through a cross, is a God who will not betray us, a God who will not leave us alone, a God who will always be faithful and true. So we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.